Good morning and welcome to this week's Health Matters radio show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, it's the 9th of July. I hope you are all keeping very well and you had a great weekend. The sun has been shining, certainly in Kent anyway, and it's been a very warm weekend. So we have a great show ahead of you this morning. We have some music from 1992. So I've got some tracks from Nirvana, from U2, and also from REM. And I can't believe that 1992 was 26 years ago. How quickly time flies. We've also got a special guest on the show this morning. We've got Rosie Barreto from the Vitality Hub. And we'll be talking more with Rosie about what she does and how she may be able to help you with certain ailments that you may have. We're also going to talk about magnesium, what it is, what it does, magnesium deficiency in particular. And also, we're going to discuss ways that you can improve your magnesium consumption and your magnesium levels. And we're going to have a chat about fruits, particularly fruits that are good for diabetics, that don't raise blood sugar too much. But also fruits are very good for everyone, not just type 2 diabetics. A quick disclaimer before we start, as per normal. The purpose of the Health Matters radio show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways that you might improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, experience and opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. If you'd like to tweet in, the show's Twitter page is at Health Radio Show. If you'd like a shout out, a mention, if you've perhaps got an event coming up you'd like me to mention on air, then please do tweet in and use the hashtag hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. So that's Twitter at Health Radio Show. You can also find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Matters Radio Show. And as per normal, if there's anything you'd like to discuss with me privately and confidentially, if you've got any health issues that relates to weight or type 2 diabetes or anything like that, then please do contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So magnesium. It's quite interesting because recent research has suggested that around 80% of people are actually deficient in magnesium, and certainly that they don't get the level of magnesium that they should do. It's estimated that the average man needs around 420 milligrams, a minimum 420 milligrams a day, and women around 320 milligrams. And the problem is that magnesium is so important for cellular health, and also it's really critical in around 300 biochemical functions. And some of these functions include things like energy production and metabolism, protein synthesis, nerve function, blood sugar control, neurotransmitter release, muscle contraction, blood pressure regulation, normal heart rhythm, bone formation, and the production of certain antioxidants. So you can see that the body really does use a lot of magnesium in a typical day. And if we're not getting enough magnesium, that can cause some problems. It can cause things like fatigue. It can cause muscle cramps or spasms. It can cause weakness, muscle weakness. It can give you an irregular heartbeat. It can cause anxiety. It can affect your sleep quality. It can give you mood swings. It can worsen PMS symptoms. So there's a lot of signs that we might be not reading that might lead to the conclusion that we are maybe deficient in magnesium. So why is magnesium deficiency so common? One of the biggest problems is that soil depletion actually lowers the amount of magnesium that would normally be present in our crops. In addition to that, many people have digestive disorders because of the sorts of diets that we have these days, and that leads to a malabsorption of magnesium and other minerals in the gut. There's a high rate of prescription medication and antibiotic use, and that can damage the digestive tract to the point that magnesium cannot easily be absorbed. One of the biggest problems as well is the fact that magnesium deficiency does not get picked up on a blood test. Only a very, very small percentage, around 1% of your magnesium, your body's magnesium, is actually stored in your blood. The rest, or the majority of that, is stored in your bones. So some of the health conditions that have been linked to a lack of magnesium, some things like fibromyalgia, hormone imbalance and PMS, heart attacks, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, constipation, tension headaches and migraine headaches, anxiety and depression, and also chronic fatigue. So those are all the things that can manifest as conditions because of the lack of magnesium in the body. And magnesium is great because not only does it ward off conditions like type 2 diabetes and osteoporosis, and it can ward off fibromyalgia, there are lots of other benefits to consuming the right amount of magnesium. So some of these can include things like helping you to increase your energy levels. If you get very stressed out, it can actually calm your nerves down. It can help you with your sleep quality. It can help you to fall asleep easier. And it's quite an effective treatment for insomnia. It can help relieve constipation and also muscle aches and muscle spasms. It's good for your overall heart health. It can help prevent migraine headaches. And also, as we mentioned, it can also help to ward off osteoporosis, which becomes a problem for women that are postmenopausal. But also there is an increase of osteoporosis in men as well. So it's something that, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, you should really take it seriously. So how can you increase your magnesium intake? Now, as a nutritionist, you would expect me to say that you should get that through your food, and that's the standard I will always take. The problem is, as I mentioned, is that a lot of our food today is deficient, not just in magnesium, but also in other minerals as well. So if you can, and not everyone can, and I appreciate that, but if you can, then buy organic, because organic might have higher levels of magnesium in the foods that are grown in that particular soil. Soil that's from conventional farms is often depleted of magnesium because often farmers don't rotate their crops as they should, or they don't leave the land to rest. And when they actually add things to the soil, they tend to put on things like potassium and phosphorus and nitrogen, but very often they will leave out magnesium. And therefore, if magnesium isn't in the soil at the levels it should be, then the crops are not going to absorb them. So typically, the foods that you'll find that are highest in magnesium are green leafy vegetables. So things like spinach, a fantastic source of magnesium, and also calcium as well. But also things like chard, pumpkin seeds, yogurt and kefir. Almonds are a good source of magnesium. Black beans, avocados, figs, dark chocolate. So chocolate that's around 80%. Cocoa or above, and also bananas are a good source of magnesium. So you can actually get magnesium in your diet. You can also get it from things like salmon and coriander. Cashew nuts are good, goat's cheese, artichokes, brown rice, and also some meat and dairy foods. So it is possible to get the right amount of magnesium in your diet if you're careful with what you eat. However, if you decide that you want to supplement, one of the things to bear in mind with magnesium supplementation is not all magnesium supplements are the same. There are different types, and some that are quite good for you and some that essentially could be considered a waste of money. So magnesium citrate, which is magnesium plus citric acid. Magnesium oxide, which is magnesium plus oxygen, and also magnesium hydroxide, which is known as milk of magnesia. Those are forms of magnesium that are actually quite poorly absorbed. So I would tend to advise to stay away from those, so citrate and oxide in particular. And actually, they can have a laxative effect as well. The two really good forms of magnesium, in my opinion, are magnesium chelate, which is CHELATE, and also magnesium malate, MALATE. ATE. And in fact, magnesium malate is a magnesium form that I've been taking for a long time. And it is actually very well absorbed by the body and used by the body, and it has no laxative effects. One of the things to consider if you are considering magnesium supplementation is that magnesium can conflict with thyroid medication and can have an effect on people with impaired kidney function. So before you decide to increase your magnesium intake, or particularly before you decide to buy supplements in the form of magnesium, then please do consult your healthcare professional. So after the break, we're going to continue with the show. But before then, we are going to take you back to 1992 to say I can't believe it's 26 years ago. We have a great song by Nirvana, and it's Come As You Are. That was Nirvana and Come As You Are from 1992. What a fantastic song. You're listening to the Health Matters radio show with me, Neil De Silva. If you'd like to tweet into the show, the show's Twitter page is at Health Radio Show. If you would like to find us on Facebook, then please go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me directly, then please do so through my website, www.health.com. i-nutrition.co.uk. You can listen again to this show and the previous 29 shows at my website. If you go to the media page, so i-nutrition.co.uk/media, you can listen to all previous shows there. I've also got a show podcast. If you go to iTunes and search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can subscribe and also listen to all the previous shows there as well. Got a couple of shout outs. A good friend of mine, Terry Botfield, who runs some networking groups down on Romney Marsh in Kent. He has an event coming up this coming Wednesday, which is the 11th of July, from 10 o'clock at the Cinqueport Arms. So Terry runs the Marsh Networking Groups. So if you go to Facebook and search out Marsh Networking, you'll be able to find details of the networking group that he runs this coming Wednesday. And also a quick shout out to a charity that I support. It's called Child Aid to Eastern Europe. And what Child Aid to Eastern Europe do is they help support the work of local projects that help disadvantaged children in Eastern Europe. Now, Eastern Europe, certain parts of Eastern Europe, like Belarus, Moldova, Siberia, Ukraine, they're some of the poorest countries, certainly in Europe and arguably in the world as well. And Child Aid to Eastern Europe actually help with things like child abandonment. They help with child education. They also help with child health care, and they help vulnerable children as well. So I support the charity. If you'd like more information about the charity, then please go to www.childaidee.org.uk. And if you go to my website, you can also find details about the charity on the charity page of my website too. Okay, so we're going to have a chat about fruit. Now, for those of you that know me or listen to the show on a regular basis, you'll know that one of my specialist areas is helping people with type 2 diabetes to manage their condition, to control their blood sugars, and potentially to take them into remission and reversal where they don't need medication at all. Now, one of the subjects that comes up quite frequently is fruit. Obviously, there are a lot of sugars in fruit, natural sugars, of course, but a lot of diabetics, type 2 diabetics, get concerned about the amount of sugar in fruits. But there's some fruits that are quite not bad for a diabetic, but they're not particularly good for them. And they tend to be exotic fruits and tropical fruits. But there's some fruits that have quite a low glycemic index. So glycemic index is how quickly a sugar gets metabolized into the body. And also they have a low glycemic load. And the glycemic load is simply the glycemic index multiplied by the amount of sugar. And these fruits are also very high in fiber too. So if you are a type 2 diabetic, I'm going to go through a list of fruits that you might consider eating, because actually these have been proven to have very little impact on blood sugar levels. But equally, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm not a type 2 diabetic, this doesn't apply to me. If you spike your blood sugars too frequently over too long a period, then type 2 diabetes can become an issue. So if you are eating a lot of fruit, or particularly tropical fruit, fruit that's grown overseas, then you might want to listen to this as well and maybe switch some of your fruit eating habits and consider eating some of these, because these fruits I'm going to list in a moment will actually benefit non-diabetics as much as type 2 diabetics. So here's some tips. If you're a diabetic in particular, you should pay attention to this. If you're not a diabetic, you should still pay attention, because there's some good rules here. So the first is, never drink your fruit, only eat it. When you consume fruit juice, it's pretty much devoid of all the fiber that comes packaged in natural fruit, and it becomes essentially coloured sugar water. Most fruit juices spike blood sugars, some spike them significantly. And those of you that network with me will know how much I go on about drinking water at networking meetings and not drinking fruit juice. Always eat fruits that are fresh and local and also in season. So at the moment we're in strawberry season, and we have some fantastic strawberries that you can get in supermarkets and also from farmer stores. Eat fruits that have a low glycemic index. Try not to eat fruits with your main meals. Have fruits between meals as a snack. Fruits that have a high glycemic index, and you can search glycemic index on the internet and you can get an idea for the sorts of fruits are high or do have a high glycemic index. Stay away from those or eat them only in moderation. Eat your fruits with some nuts and olives, because that balances the glycemic load. If you sprinkle your fruits with cinnamon, that will help in balancing your blood sugar levels. If you grind whole flax seeds in a coffee grinder and sprinkle those over fresh fruits, that will help balance your sugar levels as well. And try and stay away from cooked fruits, because actually the sugar becomes a problem with cooked fruits compared to raw fruits. Yeah, so here's a quick list of some fruits that are good, particularly for people with diabetes and particularly type 2 diabetics. So pomegranates actually contain a lot of antioxidants, and they can protect you from free radicals and chronic diseases, and they are good for diabetics. Grapes have a phytochemical in them called resveratrol, and resveratrol helps to moderate blood glucose levels. So grapes in moderation are quite a good fruit for diabetics to eat. Apples are good, along with blueberries and grapes. They're actually really good at reducing the risk of type 2 diabetes as well, according to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Blueberries are good. Blueberries contain anthocyanins, which are a type of flavonoid, and they can help reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes as well. Strawberries, as I mentioned, they're in season at the moment, and strawberries have a low glycemic index. So the sugars get released very slowly into the bloodstream. But strawberries can also help you to improve your immunity. They have cancer fighting ability as well, and they can help to increase your metabolism, which can help you in conjunction with a balanced diet to lose weight as well. Guava is a great snack for diabetics because it has a low glycemic index. It's also very high in dietary fiber, which can help ease constipation, which is a very common diabetic complaint. Watermelon. Now, watermelon is an interesting one, because watermelon is high on the glycemic index, but it's not a very dense fruit. So the glycemic load is actually quite low. And because of that, it's actually quite good for people with diabetes. So with watermelon, the high potassium content makes watermelon one of the best fruits for proper kidney functioning, and also helps keep blood uric acid levels on the low side. This helps prevent kidney damage, especially if you are type 2 diabetic, because kidney damage is quite a common issue with diabetes. And it can also help prevent and mitigate the risk of nerve damage because of certain nutrients that are found in watermelon. Cherries are good because they are low on the glycemic index. Papaya is good. Papaya is full of natural antioxidants, and they help to regulate blood sugar levels. Oranges are good. They have flavonoids, flavonones and phenolic acid in the orange, and they have protective abilities, and they can help with people with diabetes. And they also, citric fruits generally slow the level of glucose uptake, and they can inhibit the movement or transport of glucose through the intestine. So oranges are pretty good for you as well. And persimmon or Sharon fruit is really good, actually. Persimmon, I would say, is a real super fruit. It contains a number of useful substances, including fiber, but also magnesium. We've mentioned magnesium, potassium, phosphorus, calcium, iron, and also the B vitamins, as well as vitamin A and vitamin C. So the key with eating fruit is try to stick to seasonal fruit. Try to stick to fruits that, where possible, are often grown in this country. Moderation is the key. If you eat a lot of these fruits, it can cause you a problem. So one or two or three bits of fruit a day is not an issue. But if you're going to have a bucket of cherries, then it might be a problem. So moderation is key. And try to eat a wide variety, because each fruit has a different benefit to the body. So as I mentioned, there's lots of fruits you can eat. If you love strawberries, eat strawberries, but be careful with the amount that you eat. Okay, so before we move on to our guest interview this morning, we have another song from 1982. It's a classic from U2, and it's One.
Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say, one love, one life, when it's one need in the night. One love, we get to share it. Leaves you, baby, if you don't care for it. Did I disappoint you? Or leave a bad taste in your mouth? Oh,
That was Snap, and Rhythm is a Dancer. And also, we had before that, we had U2 and One, some great songs from 1992. So on to our guest interview for the morning. And we have a special guest this morning. We have Rosie Barreto. Is that right?
Yeah.
Hi, Rosie. Rosie's from the Vitality Hub. It's good to have you on the show this morning, Rosie.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
And it's Rosie's first time, so it'd be nice to find out more about what she does. So we're going to talk to more to Rosie about what she does, how she got into doing what she's doing at the moment, and also how what she does might be able to help you. We'll go through some certain conditions that you might be able to relate to, and then we'll discuss ways that you can contact Rosie at the end of the interview. So Rosie, let's start at the beginning. What's your background? How did you get into doing what you do at the moment?
So when I was younger, I absolutely adored sport. I got into every single sport I could possibly do. So that was where I knew that I wanted to work in. Mm-hmm. I knew it's sport and health and fitness related. So once I'd finished my A-levels, I decided to go to university in Portsmouth and to do a course called the Exercise and Fitness Management course. Now, it's a very new and current course. So I was really excited to start it. And with this course, I was able to actually get my personal training qualifications as well as my GP referral qualification. So in the last year, I've really been learning a lot about clinical conditions of people that are mainly obese. So I've been doing some case studies and stuff like that. So, I just fell in love with that and I really wanted to help people. I also did my dissertation on obesity-related ill health and mm-hmm. I did a lot of research into interventions that can be implemented by the government and professional governing bodies to reduce the obesity epidemic that is in this country.
Okay.
So I saw that and I thought, God, there's such a market out there. People need to be helped with the right guidance. Mm. And I've always been told that I'm quite a friendly person and that I think that that's really important to be able to make friends with people just because it's not about, it's not just about doing exercise. It is a mental thing and being able to do it and enjoy it. So,
yeah, the obesity epidemic that we face at the moment is just getting out of control, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, I think at the last paper that I read suggested that around a third of people in the UK are obese.
Yeah.
So not even just overweight, they are actually obese. They've gone beyond just being a bit fat.
Absolutely.
They're now obese, which is where America was about 10, 15 years ago. And we seem to be following America with their health and diet trends. But it used to be that we used to be around 30 years behind the States, and now we are at best around a decade behind.
Yeah. Well, I was actually, I always update my knowledge on obesity trends and stuff like that. And this morning I was looking at a paper and it was saying that 28% of women and 26% of men are currently obese in this week in the UK. And that's going to raise to 38% by 2025, which is just mad.
It is when you think about all the interventions that the government are apparently putting into place. So, you know, they've got the sugar tax and they've got, you know, all these sorts of things that they are putting into place, sometimes at great cost, to prevent the obesity crisis getting worse and also helping things like diabetes to be reduced. But what they're saying on the one hand is we're going to put all these things in place, but they estimate that obesity is going to get 10% worse in the next 10, 15 years. So what they're actually saying is what they're putting in place isn't going to work, which is bonkers.
Yeah.
Okay. So obesity is a big issue. So I've had a look through your website, as I mentioned, just while the song was playing. And there's a lot of other areas that you can help people in. So it's not just obesity, is it? There's other areas such as arthritis and COPD. Mm. What other areas do you specialise in?
Right, so the reason I specialise in these four or five main clinical conditions mm-hmm. is because obesity is really one of the main contributors to these conditions. So what I really want to focus with working on is arthritis and asthma with, combined with COPD. So that's a lung condition, which is mainly caused by emphysema and stuff like that. And the other ones is lower back pain and high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these can be reduced or helped or maintained through exercise. And I think that obesity and these conditions link really well together and that they should be tackled together, because it's hard for somebody who can't breathe properly or struggles to breathe. It's a very painful situation. Mm. And I don't suffer from asthma, but I've done tests where it makes you feel like you can't breathe while you're doing exercise, and it's atrocious. Like, it's really hard, and I think people need to be guided on ways to exercise where it isn't that painful and have the right guidance in a safe environment.
And it's trying to help people make that start, isn't it? They say that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step, but people that do have high blood pressure might be they might tend to not exercise because they're scared. People with arthritis, as you mentioned, it might be just simply too painful, equally with lower back pain as well. And if you've got COPD or asthma or any lung related condition, you just might not have the breath to exercise. And it is interesting when you look at it that they do all feed back often to simply being overweight or being obese. So from your point of view, that's the first thing that you tackle, is it to actually look at someone's weight and find ways to introduce them into exercise at a level that is comfortable for them.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't get them running a marathon straight away, but you would start off with some fairly gentle exercises to get them in the habit of exercise as well.
Yeah. And I mean, as somebody who is obese, you are quite physically strong because you have to carry all that weight around with you every day. Mm. And it is about reducing that fat weight off the body so that you can reduce the lower back pain and you can reduce the pain caused by arthritis because of that impact you have every day just by walking.
Yeah.
So it is about using exercises that have that are safe, but also are effective.
Okay. So why would someone need a personal trainer? Obviously, we've mentioned those five conditions. Let's just go over those again. We've got obviously the big one, which is obesity, but then arthritis, lower back pain, hypertension, so high blood pressure, and COPD or asthma. But why would someone generally need a personal trainer?
So exercise is a mental fight, in my opinion, and it is about just building that motivation and that confidence to exercise. Once you're doing it, it is a lot easier to do. But one of the main reasons that personal trainers are needed is just to give you that support through doing exercise. Just to say, right, today this is what we're going to do and you're going to do it. Not let those thought demons in your head say, no, I can't be bothered, I've got this to do, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it is your health and it is the most important thing. Yes, you've got work and you've got family, but exercise is going to improve your mood, it's going to improve your physical ability, your productivity. And this is what a personal trainer does. It teaches you how to exercise, how to implement this into your everyday lifestyle so that you can live a healthier and happier life.
Yeah, it's about habit, isn't it? But it's also about technique as well, isn't it? You know, lots of people have exercise machine, and I guess this is the exact point. The amount of people that have exercise equipment at home and they use it as a clothes horse, and it just never gets used. So it's not about having the equipment, it's about doing or using it in the right way, but also using it. And if you've got someone on your case, and I'm a great fan of accountability, having someone on your case to make you do it, to actually get you up, to get you moving, and someone to kind of kick your butt, to actually move you forwards.
Exactly. And I mean, even as a personal trainer, I need a personal trainer because I have days where I'm like, oh, I just don't want to do any exercise. And the more you don't do exercise, the easier it is to say, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're consistent with it, it becomes so much more easier to just fit it in 20 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day. So going back to what you were saying about the correct technique and stuff like that, it is so important to do exercise safely and correctly. And that ultimately comes down to having injuries and incurring injuries. And I'm quite lucky because I've got experience in injury and rehabilitation as I studied at a university. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a practicing sports masseuse. So I've got to learn a lot about the body and how injuries work and stuff like that. And that's really helpful for me as a personal trainer because I know how far you can push an individual when you're working with them. Yeah. And how, if they do incur an injury, how to help maintain, reduce that and control the symptoms.
That's actually quite an interesting skill set because I know personal trainers that don't have that additional skill set. And if one of their clients does get injured, they don't have the ability, they then have to pass them on to someone else. So having the ability, not that you expect anyone to get injured, but we are humans and we are unpredictable and things do happen to us. But to have that skill set to be able to help them on that side as well, I think is, you know, for all the people that I've come across that do personal training, I've not come across someone that does that as well.
Yeah, so. I think it's just the perks of going to university and having the right opportunities at hand.
Yeah, fantastic. Excellent. So some of the other benefits of using a personal trainer are certainly by doing exercise on a regular basis. And when we talk about exercise on a regular basis, many people don't do exercise on a regular basis because they haven't got the person to push them forward. So in the context of having a personal trainer, it can help you with things like maintaining your bone strength as well. Mm-hmm. So particularly if you're an older lady maybe, or osteoporosis is in the family, yeah. If you've got weak bones, it obviously can help with bone density and bone strength. But also I found it interesting, you made the point about having a good night's sleep, how exercise, people often don't relate exercise to actually a good quality and quantity of sleep.
Yeah. So I know that when I don't get enough sleep or I don't sleep very well, I am the grumpiest person on the planet. And I know exercise for me, like, it keeps me in a routine, for one.
Yeah.
And then it also gives me that regular, daily routine of waking up, doing exercise, doing my daily activities, then going to sleep.
Yeah.
And it's also really good for your hormonal imbalances, and it will, and that's a massive part of sleeping. And yeah, I guess there's that idea of it will work you hard, so at the end of the day you could just conk out like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, it has a lot more to it when it comes to going to sleep.
Yeah, it's not just about making you physically tired, is it?
No.
It is working and getting that balance back of the hormones actually makes you feel naturally tired. Mm. As well, makes you want to sleep, not just because you feel exhausted. Okay, I appreciate that you can't mention people by name, but have you got any examples of some successes you've had with some of your clients? Are there any that particularly come to mind where, you know, maybe someone's been overweight, obese, perhaps lost a bit of hope in their lives and you've helped them to maybe turn that around?
Yeah, so I have a friend who I was working with, and she was really, she drinks and eats a lot of sugary foods. So she's not particularly at a good state of health.
Okay.
And she basically was doing outdoor workouts with me. And while I was doing it, it wasn't really personal training per se, but mm-hmm. I was saying, like, come with me to do this. We're going to go to the seafront. This is back in Portsmouth. Let's go and go for a run. Let's go do some hill sprints. And that was doing it together as friends. And I think that when I've built these friend relationships with people, it shows the most impact and the best change, basically. And now that I'm not in Portsmouth anymore and she lives on one side of the country and I live here, it's just carried on her motivation to do well. Mm. And I do hold her accountable. And she now holds herself accountable, and she said, I've done all that hard work with Rosie, I need to carry on. And it's really inspiring for me to say, well done, you haven't given up now that I'm not there and I'm not around. And she was drinking about 3 cans of Pepsi a day, an awful diet, and now she's got down to 1 can a week, cut down her chocolate intake, and it is because she's doing exercise and she doesn't want it to go to waste.
Mm, yeah.
She wants it to be worth it. She's going to the gym in the morning, in the evening, and she's really working on her her weight. So yeah, it's just, to me, it's just those small different, small little changes that a person does in their daily lifestyle that really makes a difference.
And it's really empowering, isn't it? It's empowering for the individual when you take them down a certain route and you create better habits, new habits, and then at some point, it's a bit like helping a child to walk. You let go of the hand and they just carry on their own.
Yeah.
And you kind of think, yeah, I've done a good job there. They've got the education, they've got the knowledge, and they've got the accountability. And essentially, they don't need me anymore because they can do it themselves. I think that's really, really powerful. So what are your plans for the coming year?
Yep. So I have just moved here from Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know the area. I'm just really trying to get my brand out there, Vitality Hub.
So you're based in Maidstone, aren't you?
Yeah, based mm-hmm. in Maidstone. Just trying to get people involved with me and what I do, whether it's a personal training session, whether it's a boot camp, whether it's just asking for advice on what simple changes they can make to their lifestyles mm-hmm. to reduce their weight. I particularly focus with obesity and those specific clinical conditions, but I'm also willing to help other people who maybe just don't have that, maybe just a little bit overweight and just need to do a few simple things to get to where they want to be. Mm-hmm. But as I said, advice, trying to get me out there and work with people and just change their lives, really. I've been at university learning for 3 years and just doing it in theory, but now I want to practice it and just... yeah, help people.
Out in the real world.
Yeah.
So just to go over those five main conditions, but obviously you've mentioned anyone that just wants some help to get into regular exercise. But those five main conditions, again, are obesity, COPD or asthma, high blood pressure, arthritis, and mechanical lower back pain.
Yeah.
Okay, and why should people come to you? Obviously, there's a lot of choice out there. There's a lot of personal trainers, there's a lot of nutritionists.
Yeah.
Why should someone come and have a chat to you?
I think I've got my heart in it. Well, mm-hmm. I know I've got my heart in it, and it isn't, yes, I need to have a financial income and to support myself, but it's more about helping people and just getting them to live their happy, healthy lifestyle. I've also, as we said, got a background in injury, as well as the personal training side of things, mm-hmm. Which I think is really beneficial, especially with the clinical conditions, because that is there is a lot of safety around that is involved. And I'm just, I feel like I'm fresh and innovative. And as a business, I want to be able to use exercise, as I think it's slowly starting to be neglected in terms of government initiatives. There are a few out there, but they aren't specifically aimed at clinical conditions. Mm-hmm. I have the knowledge and the ability to do that.
Excellent. Fantastic. So if people want to talk to you, what's your preferred route of contact? What's your website address, perhaps Facebook details?
Yeah. So give me a call if you can. I love talking to people. Mm-hmm. I just love having a chat. I don't have many friends here in Kent.
Oh, I'm sure that will change.
Yeah, I'm sure it will too. I've met a lot of friendly people over the last few weeks, so it's been great. You can message me on Facebook, which is Vitality Hub UK. Mm-hmm. If you go onto my website, I have all my social media platforms, which is Instagram, which is the_vitalitycoach. Or my website, which is www.vitalityhub.co.uk. Give me a call, give me a message, anything, and I'll be willing to talk to you about anything that you like, as long as it's health and fitness.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for coming on the show this morning, Rosie. It's been great to have you on as a guest. And just to reiterate, Rosie's website address is www.vitalityhub.co.uk. .uk even. So thanks for coming on the show. It's been great to have you on this morning. We're about to wrap up how quickly an hour goes. So just a quick reminder of my website address, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. If you'd like to make contact with me for any health-related issues, then please do feel free to contact me via the website. You can also, as I mentioned, tweet in between shows. The show's Twitter feed is @healthradioshow. And on Facebook, if you search Health Matters Radio Show, you can find the show's Facebook page. You can listen again to this show and previous shows at my website. Click on the media page on the iNutrition website, and you can find previous shows on iTunes podcast as well if you search the Health Matters Radio Show. If you'd like to tweet in between now and the next show any questions or any shout outs you'd like me to mention, then please feel free to contact me. And I'm looking for guest slots to come on, like Rosie's done this morning, to promote what they do and to promote themselves as well. But I'm looking for guest slots in August, so if you'd like to come on the show in August, then please do make contact with me. So after the final song, it will be the Channel Radio News and Weather, and we are going to finish the show today with one more song from 1992. It's a classic from REM, and it's Man on the Moon. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and I'll catch you on the next show.
Monopoly 21, checkers and chess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Fred Lassie in a breakfast mess. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's play Twister, let's play.